Welcome to Golfers on Golf Radio on AM 750 WNDZ. Golfers on Golf is presented by the five-star French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana.
Well, happy Saturday morning to you. Of course, looking today much like the Butler cabin, here is the studio at 7:50 a.m. similar but different, but hey, a thrill to be bringing you the world of golf from a Chicago area perspective on Masters Saturday. We've made it to the weekend of Masters Week. I'm Ed Stevenson, PGA professional, alongside Mike Monroe, who is with the publisher of Chicagoland Golf also with a longtime owner of the Dome, Green Street Grill.
White Pines Golf Dome.
The White Pines Golf Dome and Green Street Grill in Bensonville. We've got Bill Berger, PGA Life member and pizza maker extraordinaire at Jake's Pizza in Franklin Park. And, of course, the one and only Rory Spears, longtime Chicago area sports journalist.
And what restaurant are you with, Rory?
He's with every restaurant.
I'm not sure. I could tell you this. I on the way home from the Cubs game last night, I did stop and visit the brand new Arby's in Arlington Heights that just opened. And you know they sponsor the beef. You know Andrew Johnson on tour, and so he's playing mostly in the European tour these days. But he's got the logo on everything.
Speaking of beefy, the leaderboard at the Masters is about as beefy as I've ever seen it. There are five players tied for the lead, each of whom have won a major before. So certainly they've been there, done that. There are nine players within one shot of the lead, and that includes it one shot off. You've got Dustin Johnson and an up-and-coming player named Tiger Woods that a few people may have heard of, but it is an extremely experienced and talented leaderboard heading into the weekend at Augusta National. Also heading into the weekend are some predictions of rain. So a little bit of intrigue there always is, but you know the saying that the Masters doesn't truly start till the back nine on Sunday is going to be challenged because the leaderboard is packed at the top. Lots to happen today, I think, guys.
Well, you know, Ed, one of the things that people don't realize about the Masters is that it is a small field. We don't have 150 players like we do at the U.S. Open or the PGA or whether you call it the British Open or the Open Championship. And, you know, some of those players are amateurs. Some of them are past champions. They don't have much game anymore. So it really is a small field of competitive golfers, which plays right into the hands of, maybe a couple guys in the field that you normally wouldn't expect to win a major championship, this week. But it gives them a chance when there's not a big field that they have to beat.
Well, and of course, the Masters handles the cut a little bit differently than we see week in and week out. We see any players within 10 shots of the lead get to play on the weekend, and a larger field than usual. Usually it's the top 50 in ties. I think we've got 60 something that made it into the weekend, so it's going to be a large field. I'm not sure with that much activity near the top of the leaderboard that someone 10 shots back can make a move, but I guess that's why they play. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, as we're all talking about, it's going to be a great Saturday and Sunday. The odds makers, they still like Dustin Johnson. They still like Tiger Woods. But how about you guys? I mean, one of the guys at the top who's probably played his best golf of anybody all year long is Francisco Molinari. He doesn't hit the ball especially far, but he sure gets the job done. He gets the ball in the hole, and he seems to have nerves of steel. It's really hard to count that guy out.
Well, you know, now that he's won a major championship, and then, of course, recently there was a lot of talk right before he won the Arnold Palmer of his equipment change was the story of the week. How was he going to do playing Callaway products? And he answered the question by winning the first tournament that he put all Callaway stuff pretty much in his bag. So he's really played pretty darn good since he's made the equipment change. So we'll have to see how that plays out.
You know, excuse me, you guys are really doing good at figuring everything out, but I don't know that the threes and fours, there isn't a couple guys sitting back there that are going to knock in every 10-footer or every 14-footer all day for 2 days, you know. So you'd have to be JC himself to predict, you know, who would be who. That, and you made a good point about the field, Rory. You know, that's not a regular golf field normally. So it will not come into play like a normal golf field. So the guy that I think that, again, to reiterate, the 10-footer, the 14-footer, you know, and maybe Mr. Tiger might be on his. Holding those seagoers, you know, he'll hold about 235-footers, you know. They'll come from heaven, you know, so.
Interesting statistic. They showed Tiger putting-wise, and from, you know, I'm going to be off by this, but like 0 to 8 feet, I think he was almost dead last in putting.
Yeah.
And I think 8 to like 15 feet, he was like 84 out of 89, but then, you know, 20 feet and over, he was leading the field. We watched a fair amount of the tournaments last couple of days. He's knocked in a bunch of 25, 30
footers. He kind of plays sometime like Arnold used to play. You know, Arnold would make 40 footers three times around, you know, and say he didn't putt good. You know what I mean? Putting wasn't too good. But he did hit 16 greens yesterday.
Did he?
You know, so. Yeah.
He hit some incredibly impressive shots. That one shot on, I think it was on 17, where he was in the trees, and it looked like he had absolutely no shot at all. And there's, you know, oak trees and you know, all sorts of brush in his way. And sure enough, he finds this little opening and knocks it to about 15, 20 feet and then makes the putt. I'm thinking he's going to be really lucky to walk away with the par, and then here he walks away with a birdie.
That's what after that rain delay that Adams come out and hit that, you know, now the wind's blowing in his face, I think it was on 15, and all of a sudden it changed his shot dramatically, and he was in the junk there, and he hit a 2-iron from, you know, and then made the putt for an eagle, you know, so that's hard to do, to sit down in the clubhouse for a length of time and then come back and hit a 2-iron 240 or into the wind, you know. Whatever.
Yeah. That's kinda, I'll tell you what, you don't see too many 2-irons out there these days.
They can,
what's a 2-iron, Billy?
Yeah.
So,
you know, don't wrap a 2-iron, Eddie, you know.
Gotta love the 2-iron.
Sometimes guys got to hit it out of the junker underground, you know.
I thought used that to put some butter on your bread. It looks like that's the 1-iron. Looks like a butter knife.
Well, you know what they say, even God can't hit a 1-iron, but
it's now a 2-iron.
Eventually it'll be a 3-iron, but you know, as we look a little bit deeper in the leaderboard, obviously it's stacked at the top, but you know, guys who are even just within you know, three shots behind include Bryson DeChambeau, Ricky Fowler, who was my pick last week, Justin Thomas, of course, you know, also right in the mix in front of them, Phil Mickelson, Matt Kuchar, Charles Howell III, Billy, your pick right there. Mike, you weren't with us last week,
I'm
sure you made a pick somewhere. Who's
you know
your
what? I told friends that I either like Justin Rose or Tiger Woods, and, you know, I think I'm going to have to switch from Justin Rose. What do you think?
Yeah, that might be a good idea. You know, in fact, Mike, folks, if you're looking to see certain players, you know, there's not a big cut at the Masters. Not many guys miss the cut. But when you look at the cut list, former champion Sandy Lyle has missed the cut. Stuart Sink missed the cut. Justin Rose missed the cut. Former champion Mike Weir missed the cut. Former champion Danny Willett missed the cut. Former champion Sergio Garcia missed the cut. Former champion Fred Couples missed the cut. Former champion Charles Schwartzel missed the cut. So and former champions Jose Maria Olazabal missed the cut. Ian Woosnam missed the cut. Vijay Singh missed the cut. So that can happen.
Rory, you know, did Methuselah miss the cut?
How about Paul Casey? I mean, there's a guy, you know, who was playing so incredibly well, and I think a lot of people were picking him to win, and he was like 10 over.
He was one of the sleeper picks in everybody's you know, you read all these national writers and they ask for a couple of sleepers. And the sleeper picks were Paul Casey, Phil Mickelson, Tony Finau, who is 3 under par
yeah,
and only a few shots off the lead. And you know what? Off the top of my head, his first name escapes me. But Gerigard was also a sleeper, the guy who blasted Tiger out of the match play just a couple weeks ago in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
There's some people saying that he's really bringing his game to the next level. He's made the cut. He's under par, but I really don't see him as somebody that's going to have much of a chance this weekend. There was also some people that thought Justin Jordan Spieth was going to be a sleeper that was going to find his game this weekend. And he's under par at one, but not really ready to make a charge for another green jacket.
He needs a little more help. He needs one more person on his team.
Billy, are you available?
Could be as a psychologist, Billy.
Well, lots to come in the hour ahead. I know, you know, some conversation I'd like to get to at some point here in the show. I know we're going to take a break and bring our first guest, but we were talking before the show, Rory, even about Tiger Woods being in the mix of it again now in a major, and as he's been reclimbing the world rankings. And I think debate amongst journalists, amongst golfers, is that good for golf? Is it bad for golf? Is it a distraction that you know, takes the focus away from some of these guys who've been playing better than Tiger for most of the last decade? I think the TV ratings will be higher with Tiger in the mix. I got to say, around the local pro shops at a course like the Preserve at Oak Meadows or elsewhere, the talk will be about Tiger. But I think even amongst this foursome here in studio, we might have some difference of opinion. But I think we'll get to that and more a little later in the show. We'll be back with more Golfers on Golf.
The Mount Prospect Golf Club has matured into the classic golf course it was before the renovation. Now golfers can play a public golf course rated in the top 15 public golf courses in the state of Illinois by Golf Week magazine. Mount Prospect now has all the classic features of golf courses that were built in the historic area golf going back almost 100 years. The golf course renovation created one of the best practice areas in the northwest suburbs. Gone are just a few mats where golfers hit into a net. Now there is a full double-sided driving range, complete with both mats for when it's wet or natural grass hitting areas. Mount Prospect now has 2 practice putting greens and a short game chipping area. When you're done with your round, check out the grill or the outdoor dining area on the patio, where you can enjoy your favorite beverages and maybe a juicy half-pound Mount Prospect burger. For tee times, call 847-259-4200. That's 847-259-4200. And further information can be found at mountprospectparkdistrict.org, mppd.org. When you're ready to play one of the 6 U.S. Open courses that anyone can play, why not make the short trip up to Erin Hills in Erin, Wisconsin? Located in the northwest suburbs of Milwaukee, Erin Hills is a walking-only course that allows you to enjoy the full experience of golf by walking with your caddy over 18 holes, laid out over the rolling hills in Wisconsin's Kettle Moraine Territory. In recent years, Erin Hills has added more overnight cottages, leaving golfers with only a short morning walk to a tasty Wisconsin breakfast, the driving range, and then the first tee. By midsummer, the new massive putting course will open just right next to the first tee. Nighttime activities, in addition to the burgers, the brats, and the beer, now include fun around the fire pit and activities such as pool, ping pong, darts, and more in the caddy barn. For more information on special rates, overnight stays, and U.S. Open-style golf, visit erinhills.com and then call to make your reservation at 866-772-4769. Erin Hills is U.S. Open-style golf, where the trees don't get in the way. This segment is sponsored by the French Lick Resort, home of the Pete Dye and the Donald Ross Golf Courses. For more information, see French Lick.
All right, it's 12 after 10 here on a Saturday morning. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. We love bringing you the world of golf on Saturday mornings, but it's a little bit more special when it's the week of a major and none less than the Masters. So here in studio, Rory Spears, Bill Berger, Mike Monroe, I'm Ed Stevenson, and lots more to come this hour, Rory, as we continue talking about the Masters from Augusta National.
Yeah, you know what, Ed? It's fun because in the past several years, we've started the week after the Masters, and we're sort of our opening show is breaking down who won the Masters and maybe why they won the Masters. And this year, we get to actually talk about the tournament. So that's a lot of fun. And to join us next, our first guest, he's been down to Augusta National several times and knows his way around the golf course. He is the author of several golf books, longtime golf writer, and he is the publisher of the Illinois Golfer, Tim Cronin. TC, how are you this morning?
Hello, friends.
Hey, Tim, how are you?
It's a beautiful day in Augusta based on what I've seen online, and it's a lot better there than here. Wish we were all there.
Yeah, we do. You know, Tim, our producer Mike brought in some azaleas for us. They're blooming here in the corner of the Butler Studio, and we're having a great time here this morning. And
you got a picture of Bobby Jones in the background.
Yeah,
be careful with that fireplace. I don't know if it's been cleaned for 20 years.
the only thing is that we don't have is we don't have anybody here in our cabin this morning wearing. Not only a green jacket, but nothing green for that matter. Nobody has any green on, so
we're saving it for tomorrow, Rory.
Okay, that's
St.
a good
Patrick's
idea.
Day,
Tim,
day.
Do you have any green on this morning?
I do not. No, I don't even have any green in my pocket, which I'm sorry to say.
Oh. Well, we know you've spent some green down there in their souvenir village. I don't even know if we can call it a tent anymore. I understand it's a pretty big facility.
Well, the one I was in a few years ago, I think my spending helped finance the new one. Everybody who goes to Augusta National buys something, and most people buy a lot of many things. They've done quite well in that regard.
Well, they make up for what they're not bringing in on the food concessions. Of course, one of the favorite photos to go around on social media and otherwise is of the concession menu, and you've got your pimento cheese sandwiches for $1.50. I think the highest price item on there, it might be about $5. So a little different experience from heading into Wrigley or
United Center
or guaranteed clear out your pocket on concessions rate field.
It's absolutely fantastic. The only place in Augusta that doesn't gouge is Augusta National. When you can have three lunches and top off the third one with the delightful $2 ice cream sandwich, and you spend $20 total, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, somebody posted a picture of all the things you could buy at the food stand for $20, and it was a pile of different sandwiches and drinks and desserts. And, you know, it's not like, you know, going to Wrigley Field and for $20 you can almost buy two beers.
You could buy one of everything on the menu at Augusta National for $60. Now try to do that on the south side, and you will need a mortgage from Guaranteed Rate to buy one of everything.
Let's see, $60 at Sox Park or Wrigley or United Center, that gets you two beers, a sandwich, and some nachos, I think.
Yeah, there you go. And you know, not only that, but there's a pretty good tournament to watch.
Yeah, so I've heard. So far this time around, if you can pick a winner out of this amazing dartboard of a leaderboard, you're a better man than I, Gunga Din. I have no idea who's going to win this baby.
Yeah, but you know what, Tim? If there's anybody that knows who's going to win, it's not the four of us here. It's you, and you've got a, you know, you've been around the block before. You've followed the PGA Tour. You know the players. You know their swings. You know their, you know, the ability to play golf under pressure and what's going to happen in wet, windy conditions. And I know you've got somebody that you're thinking about that you favor. So who is that guy?
Well, in the pool I'm in, I did take Dustin Johnson with my first pick, and he's conveniently went off the lead going into the final 36. I think that's a good thing. His length will help him on those wet, muddy conditions because he'll be out there farther than anybody even without any roll. He's got a better short game, much better short game than he used to have. He can putt. and he's pretty smart now, even though his brother on the bag isn't exactly the most experienced caddy in the world. He does have a lot of experience with DJ. He knows how to read his brother. He knows what to tell him at the right time. I think he's got a very good chance to win, which means now he's going to shoot 81 today.
Well,
he might have a better chance to win at the two majors from now at the U.S. Open. We all know that Dustin's played very well at Pebble Beach over the years.
Well, that's the thing. He's learned how to play majors. He won at Oakmont a couple years ago, and if you remember, for five holes, he didn't know what his score was, thanks to the USGA's kerfuffle on whether or not his ball had moved on one green.
Right.
You know, if he can get through that and just essentially go blank and still play great golf, imagine what you can do at Augusta National when you have all the things rattling around in your head, especially over the back nine on Sunday when, as Dan Jenkins said so long ago, the tournament really begins.
Yeah.
You're thinking about the green jacket. You're thinking about your place in history. You're thinking about everything but playing golf. If he can just think about playing golf, he's ahead of the game.
Tim, he's come a long way since whether he knew he was in a trap or not at Kohler. It hasn't he? He's really come a long way.
Yes, he has.
Tim.
And you know, the great thing about this leaderboard is some of these guys we know very well. Johnson, Woods, Molinari, Day, Koepka, Scott, Oostie, the five leaders up in front there, those last five named. And some guys we don't know at all. Harding, you don't know him very well. We don't know Kazare very well. Abi Barnwat is very good on the European Tour. He's hardly played in the United States except in majors. So it'll be fascinating to see what these unknowns will do today, whether or not they can break through. And the good news is it looks like the pin placements, to use a term that they hate at Augusta National these days, are relatively favorable to scoring, even though they look difficult. Takumi Kanada, Kanaya, I guess his last name is, the amateur from Japan, and four amateurs made the cut, which is amazing. He's 3-under today through his first 8 holes, so there are birdies to be had out there.
Tim, you mentioned the idea of going blank, which, you know, a golfer in a tight situation, that's a good talent to have. Something that's not blank are the pages of Illinois Golfer and your beautiful publication on IllinoisGolfer.net. We see the Masters preview came out, and in particular, you speculated on the role that the fifth hole might play in the event this year after some changes. I'm sure you've kept tabs on it. What have you seen so far? Is the fifth hole stepped up and had the impact that you thought it might, or do we have to find out this weekend?
I think we find out this weekend. It's a much tougher hole. Even Johnson, who can hit it 7 miles, says this is a long golf hole now. And if he thinks it's a long golf hole, imagine what the shorter hitters in the field think.
Right.
Here's what you do if you're Augusta National and the guys are blowing it over your bunkers and you don't want to move them anymore. You just buy the property across the street, move the road, move the tee back 40 yards and say, here's our new par four.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Tim, was it 13? I think they got some land from the adjoining Augusta Golf Club and pushed that par five tee back about 40 yards.
Right. The Augusta Country Club is directly behind the fence from the 12th hole and the 13th tee. They bought land from Augusta Country Club last year. Augusta Country Club has rearranged its golf course. So far, Augusta National hasn't done a thing to the 13th hole. And Fred Ridley, who runs the joint now, said on Wednesday at his press conference he doesn't want to do anything to 13 until he sees what the governing bodies, which is to say the RNA and USGA, do about the golf ball or the clubs. Can they slow the golf ball down? Can they change the rules to make the coefficient of restitution and all that other technical mumbo jumbo that they love to talk about make things go farther? That doesn't have a problem with you and I. We all hit it shorter, but the big guys don't. They just hit it 5 miles. And on 13, you can bend it around that corner and hit it over the trees like nobody's business. So suddenly, the par 5 13th is driver 8 iron. That doesn't exactly give you a question of whether or not to go for it on the second shot. And that's the problem that they have in major championship golf these days. How do you keep the old ballparks like Augusta National, like Marion, like the old course, relevant these days? I don't know how it works unless you slow everything down.
Or switch to match play, and then length doesn't matter.
Well, that's true.
I don't see that happening anytime soon with the Masters.
Yeah.
Okay.
A whole other conversation.
Yeah. Hey guys, is it just me? But I'm you know, I obviously love this event, but looking at the greens, it seems like the greens are maybe a step or two not as good as they were in the past. They seem a hair slower and maybe a little bumpier. Timmy, have you seen anything like that? Do the greens look as good as they have in the past?
They look good, but it rained cats and dogs Monday night and again on Tuesday for a time and a little bit yesterday. So even with the sub-air system, yeah, they are slower. There is an almost unlimited amount of speed they can put on those greens. Here's a little story. I don't know if I've told you guys this on the air before. Back in 1981 or 2, they switched from Bermuda to bentgrass greens. And they put them in right after the tournament the year before in May. So they had 11 months to grow in. They were very quick. Friday, I believe it was, the pin placement was up on the high side. And somebody missed the green right behind. I think it was Mark Hayes. He chipped. The ball went by the hole, went off the front shelf, down to the bottom, and then off the green. Hord Hardin was the chairman of Augusta National at that point. He called the superintendent and said, "Hey, how fast we got him running today?" And the superintendent says, "We got him at 18. Wow. Like infinity. So he said, "Don't cut him. We want him a little slower for TV tomorrow."
Yeah.
So they can get him as fast as they need to.
Yeah, you can't get a slate of granite to roll at 18. So that's
the old marble staircase came to life.
Well, it's going to be, I think, interesting and maybe a little different given the forecast. I know the weather looks good now, but it seems very likely between today and maybe even more so tomorrow that more rain, more of those cats and dogs will be falling at Augusta National. And so always with wet conditions, the course plays a little longer. The ball doesn't roll out the same in the fairways, but also it means the greens will hold. So I've got to imagine, Tim, that that strategically is going to change things and probably favor certain players over others as well.
It will, and I'm trying to remember who plays very well in the wet aside of my pick of Johnson, who, of course, I have a dollar on. the thing about the weather tomorrow, it's not a good forecast. I looked at the radar a little while ago. There is rain and thunderstorms and whatnot from just west of Atlanta to just east of Amarillo, Texas, and that's all headed toward Augusta. So we may have a Monday finish. Be ready to take Monday off, boys.
Yeah, you know, Tim, you just mentioned Takumi Kaneya, the Japanese amateur, and he's your front runner today. He's out early, but just finished the front nine in 4 under par and made 5 birdies in 9 holes. Kind of like what all of us here would do if we played Augusta National. We'd probably birdie 5 of the first 9, don't you think?
Oh, man. You know how many of those leaders would give their right arm to go out in 31 today or tomorrow? Boy, that is a heck of a score. And it bodes well for what fireworks we may see this afternoon. You know, the only bad thing is CBS doesn't come on the air today until 2 o'clock when the action's been going on until 9. But you can watch it online at many groups and various segmented areas of the course, the Amen Corner, the 15-16 channel. And now they added a thing this year where you can just click on a guy's name and then click on a hole, and you can watch everything he did on that hole. So you can just about watch every golf shot, just not on TV.
Yeah. Well,
and Rory doesn't like that for some reason. I, you know, we
like coverage. Gosh,
we like being immersed in the event. Hey, quickly, Tim.
I had 2 extra screens up the other day, and I can't imagine what my internet bill will be this month, but it was worth it for that hour or so.
It's all worth it. You know, speaking of TV, you have Tiger Woods for you know, any major, you're going to get the larger, broader audience that maybe isn't watching the tour week in and week out, and some additional interest. You've got Tiger Woods one shot off the lead going into the weekend, and I think within the media tent and certainly in this studio, there's some debate. Is that it's good for ratings, we believe. Is it good for golf or bad for golf? You know, here's Tiger, most recognized golfer in the world, and he's amongst guys who've really been playing better than him for most of the last decade. But what's your perspective, Tim? Is a Tiger surge in the majors and relevance there a distraction from where golf is going, or is it a good thing overall?
Oh, I think it's a good thing overall. I wouldn't call it a distraction. I might call it at this point a bit of a novelty. If he wins it, it's a tremendous comeback. If he doesn't, if he plays well today but doesn't do the job tomorrow, It'll kind of remind people of Ben Hogan when he shot the 30 on the back nine in 66, I believe, on Saturday, but couldn't finish it up on Sunday. But then he was 52, I believe, and Woods is 43, 3 years younger than Jack Nicklaus when he made his great surge in 1986 that will be remembered forever. I think it's wonderful. I mean, Woods has personally been, to many people over the years, a jerk, but he's exciting, compelling figure in the game, in the sport, and transcends the sport, and will get a lot of attention. He'll be on the air a lot more today than Harding or Schauffele, unless they end up shooting 57.
Well, there's no doubt, and it won't surprise you at all, knowing Rory Spears as you do, that we just can't get him onto the Tiger Woods bandwagon. It just
doesn't matter
what he does. He just won't get there.
I suppose he's wearing a black armband right now. Today.
He's black everything. He looks like Gary Player in here.
Well,
you know what? One of the things that's truly amazing, though, you know, especially in the minor tournaments, you know, the Phoenix Open or those kind of tournaments, if you've got Tiger at the top, the viewership typically doubles compared to what it normally is. And I'm sure the ratings today and hopefully tomorrow are going to be just so high with Tiger at the top, plus all the other great players. I think you're going to see, you know, the ratings, you know, as high as they've ever been.
Well, this has been a good leaderboard on a Saturday morning, as we've seen in a long time. And it's got some interesting side stories, too. Bernhard Langer is 62 and one under par after a 71-72 start. Wow. He goes off at 11-15. What if he gets rolling? He could be this year's Fred Couples, trying to challenge as the old guy in the field, trying to show the young bucks how to play the game. I think that would be fascinating. You got the mad scientist in DeChambeau at 3 under par, among those at 3 under, starting at 12:25. He'll be on TV a lot.
Yeah.
And you've got Tony Finau, who, of course, almost broke his ankle last year and came back to play well. He's also at 3 under, and it'd be nifty to see him. And then there's everybody's best player yet to win a major, unless you count the players as a major, Ricky Fowler, and he's at 3 under, too. Maybe he makes his final charge to Masters and major championship glory. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, there's lots of great stories.
Well,
even Philly Mick is still there, even after his 73 yesterday. He's 4 under for the first 36.
And you've got a Jason Day who's you know, nursing back injuries, so and yet playing hard. And so
and playing because his wife said, "Suck it up, this is the man." So you know who wears the pants in that family.
Well, we can't wait to see who wears the green jacket. Of course, that will happen tomorrow afternoon or perhaps Monday, as you pointed out, Tim. It would be, I think, the first time since 1983 that it finished on a Sunday when Seve Ballesteros won. But fingers are crossed for good weather. It'll be compelling golf theater in any way that it comes. And we thank you very much for taking part of your Saturday morning to share a little insight with us.
Delightful to be with you, fellas. Enjoy it, and wear something green tomorrow.
Okay, don't work too hard, Tim.
Take care, Tim. Right. Thanks.
That is Tim Cronin, who's been bringing us golf currently through IllinoisGolfer.net and various other publications. And when it comes to historical golf knowledge, I got to say, Tim is a pleasure to chat with, like a encyclopedia and with humor, too. That's a great, great combination. We'll be back in just a little bit with more Golfers on Golf Radio.
When I'm gone, well, it's Watson, Byron Nelson, Demerit, Player, and Snead.
This segment was sponsored by the French Lick Resort of French Lick, Indiana. Visit this five-star property with 45 holes of great golf, a spa, and casino. Details at FrenchLick.com. Misswood Golf Course on Renwick Road in Romeoville is now open for the golf season. Misswood, an award-winning golf course complete with a fantastic new clubhouse that includes McWeffy's Tavern. Come play the Ray Hearn renovated Misswood Golf Club, complete with one of the top club fitting centers in the country. Misswood Golf Club, 815-254-3333. Misswood is home of the Phil Kozen Illinois Women's Open. But if you're not ready to take your game outside yet, visit the Misswood Golf Dome on Route 53 in Bolingbrook. Call them at 630-739-7000. 7600. The Misswood Golf Dome, home of McWethy Sports Bar and the OTB. Come and enjoy golf indoors if you're not ready to take it outside yet at the Misswood Golf Dome on Route 53 in Bolingbrook. Are you ready for the five-star treatment right here in the Midwest? If so, why not find it where Hall of Fame architects like Donald Ross, Pete Dye, and Tom Bendelow have applied their trade? That's only in one place, and that is French Lick, Indiana, home of the French Lick Resort, where the Cook Group has put over $600 million into improving the property over the last 15 years. Whether it's the Pete Dye Golf Course, home of this October's Senior LPGA Championship, or the Donald Ross Course, where the road to the LPGA, the Symetra Tour, comes calling this summer, French Lick offers major championship golf courses that you can play. Need more? How about the Valley Links course? That's a sporty nine-hole layout that golfers of all skill levels can really enjoy. When golf wraps up for the day, the action moves to the spa, the casino, the pool, and the theater. Relax in the atrium of the West Baden Dome with a beverage of your choice. For more information on one of the top golf destination properties in America, visit online FrenchLick.com. That's FrenchLick.com or call 888-936-9360. This segment is sponsored by the Arlington Lakes Golf Club and the golf courses of the Arlington Heights Park District that include the famed Par 3 golf course on Peyton's Hill in Nickel Knoll Park. 847-590-6050. That's 847-590-6050 or visit ahpd.org.
All right, a little bit past 10:30 here on WNDZ AM 750. The show's Golfers on Golf. We've made the turn. We're headed into the second half hour of our hour, bringing you the world of golf from a Chicago area perspective. I'm Ed Stevenson, alongside Bill Berger, Mike Monroe, and Rory Spears. And guys, it's Masters weekend. In most tournaments on the leaderboard, Saturday is moving day, and we see some changes for the tour players, the best players in the world, and some of the top amateurs, too, in the case of the Masters. But also over the offseason, Illinois PGA professionals, some club professionals, make some moves as well. A few changes in the Chicago area this year. And Rory, our next guest, was one of those guys who made a move this offseason.
Ed, and you know what? I think you were involved in the move.
I might have been a little bit.
And bringing him into the fold with the DuPage County Forest Preserve District. So I'll let you introduce him.
Great. Well, gave me great pleasure this spring to introduce to our customers Jamie Nieto, Illinois PGA professional, now at the Preserve at Oak Meadows, coming to us from a stint as head professional at Pheasant Run. And, pleasure to introduce you this morning. Jamie, how are things going out at the Preserve this morning?
Oh, everything's going great. Nice, busy Saturday, given the brisk temps, but still a lot of golfers out there.
Yeah, even on the way to the studio this morning, I, of course, did what I often do. I cut past the golf course and saw the players out there, and I figured there are quite a few golfers who said, hey, it's Masters weekend. A little chilly this morning. It was the car temperature still said it was in the upper 30s. But get some golf in this morning and then maybe settle in this afternoon to take on some of the Masters. A lot of golfers talking about the Masters in the pro shop this morning?
Yeah, no, we got it on the TV, and a lot of guys walking in, watching it on their phones, and radios going in the carts, I know that. Drove around a couple times, check on everyone, and everybody's, every foursome out there is talking about it, and I think reminiscing a little bit into those teenage years when you picture yourself out there at Augusta playing in the event while you're playing your own round.
Jamie, Rory Spears here. Hey, are you guys handing out a green jacket to whoever shoots the low round of the day over at the Preserve at Oak Meadows?
You know, I found a lot of Eddie's old clothes here. So I give them one of Eddie's old sport coats. So.
Yeah, it may need to be a parka instead of a green jacket for the winter. Maybe some green hat and everything. But hey, Jamie, Mike Monroe. Hey, I went over to the golf course the other day to congratulate you on. And your new job over there, you're going to be a great addition. So congratulations! But how's everything going so far? Any big changes between now and your previous place?
First of all, thanks, Mike. Appreciate the kind words. It's obviously definitely a step up. We're at a premier course here, not to take anything away from the resort, but you know, it had its niche and its customer base, but the Preserve is definitely, you know, in my mind, even before I got here, one of the top five, even top three courses in the Chicagoland area for the public to play. So, you know, in terms of changes, maybe just coming to a course that's got a little bit more visibility and a little better reputation than where I came from.
Well, you know, when we talk Masters, we think about tradition. There's a new storyline each year and old storyline. Jamie, coming to the Preserve at Oak Meadows was a bit of a homecoming for you. Why don't you let our listeners know a little bit about your history with that place?
Yeah, it was back in my freshman year of high school, which was way back in the late 90s now.
One of those old guys, Bill.
You're,
you know,
man. Yeah, I know. You're really ready to retire, man. I think.
You know, Drew played at East Leiden, you know, for their team, and White Pines was our home course, but the Preserve or Oak Meadows in that day was my personal home course. I got introduced to it by a good friend, Jordan Carden, his dad, Bob, and from that day, first day I played here, I just fell in love with the place. It was a good place to be around. The staff was always fun to talk to and hang out with, joke around with, and I misspent many of my teenage years out at Oak Meadows, sometimes from sun up to, you know, and I even mentioned it in Eddie's Wear, Eddie kicking me off at sundown.
He's been known to do things like that to people.
Yeah, but it's really great to come back. I remember, you know, meeting Mike Burrows out here when he was the head pro, and his son Scott, who kicked my butt up and down the golf course constantly, and back when Eddie was just an assistant, and you know, all the legends of Oak Meadows, it's good to see them, and they've all come in to wish me well and say congrats.
Well, it's fun to have you back on board, Jamie, because you know, the Oak Meadows that we kind of remember and loved has been changed a lot. Of course, the Forest Preserve District of DuPage County made about a $16 million investment to improve the golf course, as well as the stormwater retention, the environmental benefits, some stream habitat restoration, and so golfers now coming back to the Preserve at Oak Meadows are finding a place that is a little bit familiar and yet it really entirely different in a new golf course once you go through the experience. Like any course, it's getting better each year. It's maturing into one of the top public courses. And given that you grew up there, Jamie, what was your experience going and standing on kind of a familiar-looking first tee, but as the layout unfolded for you coming back to play a course you grew up on, how did it reveal itself to you?
Yeah, it was, you know, the first time I played it as the Preserve, it was definitely, you know, you stand on that first tee, and the first hole is still there, still those old memories. But, yeah, as soon as you walk off that first green and go to two, it's an entirely new place. But it's not unfamiliar. I mean, you're out there and you can definitely see the shell of the old Oak Meadows, especially when you make that turn to the back nine and you're looking out over, you can see the old number 13 and 14, and you remember the days of when it was pouring rain and you saw all the water out there and you couldn't play. But the new layout is fantastic, and a lot of guys coming in this last week have all said the course is in great shape and love the layout, and kind of share my same sentiments. It has some familiarity and it has the nostalgia, but they're definitely liking the new layout and the new golf course to be on.
Jamie, I got to ask you here. You know, obviously, sometimes when people get a new job, they always say, geez, I'm going to be anchored to my desk. I'm not going to have any time off for months. But, you know, we've seen on Facebook a great announcement in your life, your engagement to your fiancée, Lauren, and congratulations to both of you. And is Ed Stevenson going to give you any time off to get married this year and also go on a honeymoon?
He gave me the afternoon off.
part of the afternoon, Jamie. Come on.
Yeah, part of it. I mean, I got to come back and close the shop once the ceremony.
I saw him looking for a gift for you in the Titleist section. It looked like he was debating between Pro V1s and Pro V1Xs.
Not a bad choice. Either one would work. But no, you know, that's definitely something, you know, and personally, I know I don't like to be tied to my desk. I like to be out amongst the people playing the course and my staff, and you know, it always helps to get out, and that way you can tackle any issues that might come, you know, firsthand. And I've never been a fan of hearing things second or third down the line. You know, if there's an issue, I always like to take care of it myself. So, but no, it's been really good to, you know, to come in. And even the start of the season, Eddie was really good about letting me head out to Washington to speak on behalf of burn survivors and do some work out there. So it's definitely a better balance than where I came from. So.
Hey, Jamie, tell us a little about that. You mentioned the trip to Washington. I know you mentioned it to me. You had the chance to go and be an advocate for some legislation that would hopefully either benefit burn survivors or prevent future people from needing to join the ranks of burn survivors. And I know that certainly in your life on and on the golf course, including the charity event that you put together, advocacy on behalf of burn survivors is certainly part of who you are. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, so I was fortunate this year to be part of a group that came from a bunch of states that went out to Washington, D.C. to advocate for some legislation on burn safety measures for portable fuel containers. What we're trying to do is get a little mesh device put in these containers that would prevent any blowback explosions from happening, and that's what I was a survivor of, was an explosion like that. And, you know, if that little device was in the canister I was using, I probably wouldn't have been injured, or not injured as bad as I was. So it was great to be a part of that and kind of see how the process works in D.C., and, you know, I took my notes on how I think I can improve it, so hopefully I get a chance to go out there again and, you know, maybe teach our legislators about what it's like to work for the people. But, yeah, and then through my whole journey as a burn survivor, become a really big advocate for burn awareness and fire safety. And, you know, with the help of my mentor through this whole process, Tony Gonzalez, he and I started a charity golf outing 14 years ago now, benefiting burn survivors and their families from the Loyola University Burn Center. And what we try to do is raise money to send these survivors, their families, out to an event called the Phoenix Society's World Burn Congress, which is an annual event, moves around the country. And what it is a 4 or 5 day long seminars and support group meetings and just getting together with old friends. And it's a chance for, you know, especially survivors who are new to this, to experience this and know that they're not alone and that there's things out there for them to help them recover and make it through this difficult journey. But it's also good for guys like Tony and myself, who have been to a bunch of them, to go and renew some friendships, see people we only see this one time a year, but also for us to help others heal and, you know, heal ourselves. So it's a great opportunity, and I'm glad that through this I've been able to do things like that and not let the injury defeat me.
You know, I tell you what, I've got a lot of admiration for you. I remember, you know, pretty much the day when that burn took place, and then seeing you months later come into the dome and attempt to hit a golf ball. I remember the first time you took a swing at it, and you probably hit it 8 feet. Maybe 20 feet, and then hit it. You took a couple more swings, and you looked at me, and you said, you know, that's not too bad. It's better than I thought it would be. And then years later, Jamie, you went on, and I was talking to you about your golf game, and you were shooting in the 70s. So my hat's off to you, not only for the volunteer work you do, but for the, you know, the comeback that you made in the golf business to be able to go from a severe burn, incredibly severe burn, to being able to be competitive once again. So good going, Jamie. Really proud of you.
Thank you.
Jamie, I got to ask you, I'm sure one of the things that was attractive about coming over to work at the Preserve at Oak Meadows is the, I'm sure Ed shared with you the construction plans of a new clubhouse. And I'm sure you've made sure that he gave you enough room for a good office in there as well.
Yeah, you know, a couple additions I want to make, like the jacuzzi tub and a couple other things. But, no, you know, joking aside, looking at the plans, you know, even when I came in to interview and now, it just looks phenomenal. And I remember growing up in Oak Meadows was the hangout. It was the place to be, you know, from lunchtime on. And I hope that's the case when we get this groundbreaking started and the new building up, and, you know, get people that may have not been around as much when the building went down, but get them back and get them to experience the new preserve.
We're speaking for a few more minutes with Jamie Nieto, the new head professional at the Preserve at Oak Meadows, an IPGA professional, very active within the Illinois PGA section, as well as a fire safety awareness and burn survivor advocate. And on top of all that, you know, he is a part of a rare breed of Illinois PGA professionals that are from Franklin Park. Billy, you know anything about that?
Eddie, I didn't know you were that smart. Hey, Jamie, congratulations again one more time on the job. And I just want to warn you the dangerous territory you're traveling in. You know, I grew up as a kid caddying at a golf course with a Scotts Pro old-timer born there. But now here you are. Hooked up with a Scotts Pro of a second generation or something, you know. So let me warn you, Jamie, and congratulations. And Franklin Park, you're not moving out of town now with this job, are you?
Leaving me alone
there, you know. And I like that choice of peaches that you like. You got a very good choice there, Jamie. So
you go with us. What kind of pizza you like? Other than Billy's pizza.
Yeah, you know what? I'm usually just a plain cheese guy.
Really?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's sad to say, but I can usually get the family size and eat it by myself.
You know what, Jamie? I'll tell you what. Talking about Franklin Park golf, though, it's for whatever reason, Franklin Park, I mean, you East Leiden High School has brought some pretty good golfers, Roy Biancalana, yourself, and several others. What is with Franklin Park that brings out the best in golfers?
You know, I think it's just a love for the game and the fact that we don't get to play as much. So when we do, we put in as much time as we can and try to get better. So that's, you know, we're fortunate that there's a lot of great places around that Leiden area that we can go play and practice at.
Well, Billy's pretty convinced it's the Jake's Pizza that's been there for over 50 years that is really getting the pros cranked out of there. But, hey, Jamie, in about the 20 seconds we got left with you, tell us your pick this weekend in the Masters. Who's coming out of that pack leaders board?
You know what? I think we're going to see a guy who some people may not think too much of, and he's only a couple shots back. But I got to go with Matt Kuchar, you know?
Really?
I know he's had a little bit of rough going with some tipping controversy and not the most popular guy right now, but he's got a solid game. He's making a lot of putts. He's only a couple shots back. Today's moving day, so I wouldn't be surprised if he throws up a little 66, 67 and near the top of the leaderboard by the end of the day.
All right, Jamie's pick, Matt Kuchar, and we've got it memorialized. So, hey, Jamie, we'll let you get back to the customers at the Preserve at Oak Meadows. You can meet Jamie Nieto heading out to Addison at the Preserve at Oak Meadows, and find it on DuPageGolf.com. It's DuPageGolf.com. Hey, Jamie, thank you so much. Thrilled you're on board with us, and thanks for taking some time this Saturday morning to join the guys here on Golfers on Golf Radio.
Thank you, guys. I'm glad I could be a part of it.
Thanks, Jamie.
Hey.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be back with more to wrap up Golfers on Golf Radio. Stick with us.
This segment was sponsored by the golf courses of the Arlington Heights Park District, including Arlington Lakes Golf Club, where you can now play 3-hole, 6-hole, 9-hole, or 18-hole rounds. For tee times, call 847-577-3030 or visit ahpd.org.
DuPage Golf has reinvented the nature of golf in Chicagoland. After extensive renovations, the Preserve at Oak Meadows is reborn as a new, award-winning 18-hole golf course, practice facility, and environmental haven. The reviews are in. The Preserve at Oak Meadows joins the ranks of top courses in the country on Golf Week's Best You Can Playlist and is the winner of Golf Digest's Green Star Award and Golf Inc.'s Renovation of the Year. Visit DuPageGolf.com to book a tee time. Learn more about the Preserve at Oak Meadows at DuPageGolf.com.
Arrowhead Golf Club in Wheaton opened in 1927, and it's only gotten better ever since. The most recent renovation by architect Greg Martin has golfers raving about the conditions and the style of this 27-hole facility that has added the white tour sand in its bunkers, not seen on many public golf courses. The course is surrounded on three sides with forest preserve areas that make sure no homes will ever come into play. Arrowhead's practice areas, the driving range, the putting green, and the short game area are now lighted for when evening hours are your best time to practice or take a lesson from Arrowhead's professional teaching staff. The clubhouse is one of the newest and largest in the area and is home to one of the highest rated 19th or 28th holes in the area. Guests can enjoy eating on the outdoor elevated patio that allows for viewing on the closing holes of the golf course. So why not book your tee times today at 630-653-5800. That's 630-653-5800. Arrowhead Golf Club, located on Butterfield Road in Wheaton.
All right, joining you on a Masters Saturday, a Masters weekend. It's Golfers on Golf Radio. We've been talking about the world of golf from a Chicago perspective, broadcast from 10 a.m. to 11. We've got a little bit of time left in this show. And, of course, between the broadcast, you can find us online at golfersongolf.com. Here in studio this morning, our foursome is Bill Berger, Mike Monroe. I'm Ed Stevenson alongside Rory Spears and fellas, a few minutes left. I feel like we could really go on for hours talking about the Masters. Lots of storylines this year. And Rory, you've been keeping an eye on some of the scores already that are going on this morning at Augusta National.
Yeah, some of the early players that have gone out. Mark Leishman with a couple of back-to-back birdies to get into red numbers. Matt Fitzpatrick, probably best known in this area for his one semester he spent as part of the Northwestern University golf team, has gone from one over to one under par. Rory McIlroy with a birdie now has jumped into the red numbers. And Stephen Kim, the I believe the John Deere Classic champion, has just gone birdie-birdie to get down to two under par. So there are some birdies to be found in the early holes out there. And it'll be interesting to see if some of those guys that are up near the top of the leaderboard come out of the gates quickly and add to their red numbers.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, it sounds like, based on what I heard last night, is the weather may get worse later in the day. So if the scoring opportunities may be a little bit better right now than they will be in the afternoon. So for the guys that are back quite a bit, the Rory McIlroys and others, if you could post a really good score, maybe you've got an opportunity to make it. I don't think so. You probably need to be 3-4 under, guys, do you think, to have an opportunity to win today?
I think so. And, you know, Mike, it's all going to depend on really what the weather does. I think this wind kicks up here. We'll see. It may be a matter of trying to just hang on a little bit and may take something less than that. But between weather and nerves, it's going to be exciting.
I think today, who's ever at the top of the leaderboard, anybody within five shots of that person will have a chance tomorrow. But if you're beyond that, I think it'll be a little tough to come back, especially if the conditions go a little downhill.
Well, certainly join us next week. We will be recapping all the storylines and between now and next week, you can catch us online, as I mentioned, at golfersongolf.com. Our very own Rory Spears will be bringing us news and notes from between the broadcasts. And Rory, obviously, Masters taking the spotlight this week. Anything else to look forward to on the blog for our listeners?
Yeah, I caught up with U.S. Amateur Chairman Robbie Zelznick of the USGA, and we're going to have him talking about the decision to change the format for the championship match of the U.S. Amateur, which is going to be on Pinehurst 2 this year and also Pinehurst 4. As people know, at USGA events, where there's two courses involved, that's for the first 2 days, then there's the cut, and the match play goes to the main course. However, this year, with the great renovation work by Gil Hanse on number 4, the USGA is going to start the championship match on the first tee of Pinehurst 4, and then after the first 18 holes, It's not going to be on the same course again. They're going to jump over to number two. So, you know, Pinehurst number two in all its glory may not even see 18 holes played on it during the championship.
All right. We'll look forward to reading about that on golfersongolf.com. And meanwhile, thank you to our guest, Tim Cronin from IllinoisGolfer.net, Jamie Nieto, Illinois PGA professional from the Preserve at Oak Meadows. Thanks to our producer, Mike, for getting us out to you. On behalf of Rory Spears, Mike Monroe, I'm Ed Stevenson. Happy Masters weekend. Go play.
Preceding program, Golfers on Golf, was paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.
This is Access Radio Chicago, AM 750 WNDZ, Portage, Indiana, Chicago.